With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios in New York, and we're at the MGM in Vegas for Pacquiao Broner tomorrow night on Showtime Pay-Per-View. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Legendary 8-time champion Manny Pacquiao meets 4-time champ Adrian the Problem Broner, two of the biggest stars in boxing. One explosive fight, Pacquiao versus Broner. Tomorrow night, January 19th, Saturday night, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Call your cable operator. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, boat, or RV insurance? You can get that, too. Just go to geico.com. Don't forget PharrellOnTheBench.com for all the title game picks, Broner picks, and then the UFC at Barclays in Brooklyn, those picks, all the NBA, college rack. Over 46 basketball picks tomorrow that I've got for you on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Went perfect tonight, a perfect night in college basketball tonight, hitting every bet both ways. I mean, it was insanity. So get it all at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. It's cheap. You'll love the return. It's simple. I'm going to make it back fast for you. Same day. Everyone loves it. Don't forget, next week we head back to Vegas on Saturday. We'll be live on the 28th through the 1st, 5 shows at the D Casino on Fremont Street with 1140, our great affiliate in Vegas, CBS Sports Radio 1140, and William Hill. 5-show performance, one a night, 7 West every night in Vegas. Come see us live at the D Casino View Bar on the 2nd floor. And then on Sunday the 3rd, it's time for the biggest big game bash ever at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center. Free entry. All ages are welcome. Reserve a private man cave or table at downtownwatchzone.com. Come see the 72-foot screen with booming stadio sound and the most incredible Super Bowl party you've ever been to in your life. I guarantee you, you're going to love it. Call the D now for a room. All right, coming up later, we're going to hear from Lights Out Lido and Dave Feldman. They do bare-knuckle fighting. They're having a huge war with Mexico down in Cancun, the USA against Mexico. We'll hear from them coming up in about 20 minutes. I'm going to take your calls until then and then after then as well. Tim in Massachusetts, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? I love the show.
Thanks, dude.
A couple things real quick. You know, I'm not biased or anything, but I think the Pats are going to win Sunday. It's going to be a great game, but I want to talk about how Belichick, hear your thoughts on how Belichick does with rookie quarterbacks. And I know Mahomes isn't a rookie, but he is a rookie of the AFC Championship game. And also Brady, the other night I heard you talking about, you don't want to give the ball to Brady for 3 minutes, but we all know that. But I was watching the press conference, and I seen the Brady swag, his smirk on his face when it got brought up that he's the underdog. And pretty much he's the underdog in this game, and every time he gets the ball with 3 minutes left, he's the underdog. What happens? You know? Your thoughts, man.
Well, first of all, it's almost embarrassing to call that guy an underdog ever in anything. Ping pong, beer pong, mini putt-putt, playing, rocks, paper, scissors. I mean, this guy, all he does is win. He even said it. I just like winning, and that's what I do is win. So the bottom line is he's the favorite. There's no way anyone can tell me that guy's an underdog against Pat Mahomes. I don't care how good he is. He's about as good as the hype that they've built him up. They've made this kid, he's in Canton already, for Christ's sakes, with the media today and television and Twitter and radio everywhere, 50 million sports radio hosts. They built this guy up like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. There's no denying that he has talent. There's no denying he's got an arm and he makes big plays. There's no doubt that their future looks very bright in Kansas City with this guy. There is little questioning any of that. But this kid hasn't won jack shack. Okay? Nothing. Nada. 9-0 nunca. What is he? I don't know. What did he win? A high school championship or something? What do I give a rat's ass about that? This guy has not done anything yet in the NFL except win a bunch of regular season games that don't matter. There's no doubt he's impressive. There's no denying. I like him. I think he can win the game. But he's no favorite against Tom Brady. I don't care what Las Vegas says. And they can kiss my ass, too. That guy is not an underdog to anybody in any game ever. The only reason they're dogs is because they're playing an Arrowhead, and that's the way the cookie crumbles. Both home teams are favored for a reason, just like they always are. If you look at I would be shocked, Mafia, if you looked at the last 10 years, how many times the AFC and NFC home teams have been dogs. They aren't.
No, very rarely, if at all.
So that's that. I'm not buying any of that. Tom Brady's an underdog. What a bunch of crap that is. Mark in Pittsburgh on the Fan.
Pharrell, what's up, my man?
Hey.
I'm here with Jay, Chris, and Mark. We're from Greensburg, and we're big fans.
Sweet. I'm from Lebo, but don't tell anybody.
Hey,
Mount Feminine.
Drink tonight.
Can we get them all beverages, Carver? I got a party going on in Greensburg over there. There you go.
Thank you.
Hey, what do you think about the Greg Hardy fight? Do you think we should risk the big onions on Greg Hardy or what?
I would not bet a bunch of money on Greg Hardy. I know, Mafia, you tell him you don't like the fact that he's even on the card.
Well, I hate that he's on the card, but not only that, it's stupid to bet on because he's minus 550. They're expecting him to win. If you put, you'd have to bet $500 to win less than 100. It's not worth it. I mean, he shouldn't be the co-main event. Shouldn't be on the card, but it is what it is. They're putting him up against a guy that's going to stand and bang and let him take his head off because they're trying to make a star out of him. They're trying to use his fame, whether for good or for bad. They're trying to turn him into the next big thing for them because of these guys like Conor McGregor that aren't fighting anymore, keep losing, or Ronda Rousey, or DC's.
They'll never make that guy a star. The first of all, he's his fame. What fame does he have as a wife beater?
His infamy. The same as Broner, the same as Mayweather. People hate these guys. They love to watch them fight that they hope they're going to lose. We still tune in for him.
Yeah, believe me, I am not tuning in tomorrow night to watch Greg Hardy. I'm not tuning in to watch him.
But there's going to be some who may be NFL fans that are tuning in because of that.
Well, whatever. Jay in D.C.
Hey, thanks for not taking my call, big guy. For real, I really enjoy your show, man.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Only thing I wanted to ask you about, Pharrell, which I've lost pace with, is boxing and your real take on this guy. I know you're up on him, but I haven't heard of him before, and I don't know if I'm going to go with Pacquiao. And the other thing is, you're absolutely right. It's just idiotic for anybody to have Tom Brady as an underdog. And the comment that you made about the Super Bowls, I'm thinking that he's going to get 6. I think Mr. Kraft and the organization is going to be the next team to join my Steelers and your Steelers with 6 championships. And I just enjoy the show, and I love hearing you, man. Thanks for taking
my call. Thanks, brother. I pray to God that doesn't happen. The day that they catch the Steelers with 6, they've always, had more than anybody. And then you see the Cowboys and Niners creeping up on them, and then the Pats are right there knocking on the door. So, like I said, I think it's – it's going to happen eventually at some point. And, the Steelers don't smell like they're winning Super Bowls to me anytime soon. I've really never had any pure confidence in them the last couple of years to go all the way. I thought that they would win against Jacksonville last year like you did, but I thought they would lose the next week in Foxborough. So, if they get there and win it, it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it as Steeler fans, and someone will have finally caught them. I hope that day doesn't happen. I hope they don't make it. I hope they lose, and that's it. But I'm not stupid. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I don't. I bet on the Patriots all the time, and they've made me plenty of money. And they're a good team. They win. They cover. It is what it is. They're a championship, a dynasty. There's no even questioning it or thinking about it. There's just nothing you can do about it. And it is what it is. And I respect them for their excellence and their, frankly, dedication to winning. I mean, they really know how to win. And they used to be literally one of the laughing stocks of the NFL. I remember growing up, they were terrible. When they made it to the Super Bowl in 85 or whatever it was, I went to that game with my dad, and the Bears just pimped them 46-10. I'll never forget it at the Superdome. All that with the Fridge and Walter Payton and everybody and Jim McMahon and that great defense and Buddy Ryan. Look, the bottom line is back then they were kind of, I couldn't even believe they made it then. They sucked so bad always. My whole life they sucked. And then all of a sudden, you know, it all turned around. In the last 18 years, they've dominated the NFL like no other. And I'm sure, you know, people are sick and tired of it, but that's what happens when someone's on top. When someone's the champ, when someone's the best, everybody else hates their guts. It doesn't take long. When the Warriors finally won it, everybody loved them. Then they started winning multiples, and everybody hates their guts and wishes death on them. So that's it. It's simple. When you're on top in anything, it doesn't matter if you're the president of the United States. You win, you know, an election, then you win another election. By the time you're in the sixth, seventh year, they hate your guts. Everybody turns on you eventually when you've been around long enough winning. People get sick of it. And that's all there is to it. And people in New England can deny it all they want, but it's true. And there's just no arguing it. And if people in Boston were watching the, let's say, just for, you know, hypothetically, if they were watching, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs win five Super Bowls and dominate the NFL for 18 years and play in eight straight AFC championship games with Pat Mahomes, I can guarantee every single person in Boston drinking a fat pint would you know, wish death on them. They hate their guts. I mean, it's simple. Do the Boston Red Sox fans hate the Yankee fans? When they win titles, they want to jump off a cliff. They want nothing more than for them to lose. The Mets fans want nothing more than the Yankees to lose every single day. They have more pleasure when the Yankees lose than when they win games. They don't even care about winning games. All they care about is the Yankees losing. So when you're the best, people want you to fail at everything. Radio, TV, sports, you know, politics, in business, finance, in law. Lawyers can't stand other lawyers that beat them in court. They want them dead. It's that simple. So there's nothing worse than losing to people that are on top, and then the people have to figure out a way to beat them. I always love what Jimmy Johnson said. If you don't like it, beat us. If you don't like it, beat us. Other than that, shut up. We'll take a break and come back, and we'll hear from Lights Out Lido, Chris Lido and Dave Feldman. They're doing the Bare Knuckle Brawl in Cancun, Mexico. And I'll take your calls. If you're on hold, do not give up. It's our last hour in Vegas from the MGM. I'm going to take calls the rest of the way. I want to squeeze in this Lido Feldman interview for you. It's Pharrell and a Bench from the MGM in Vegas.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, so we hooked up with Chris Lights Out Lido, used to fight in the UFC. Now he's doing bare-knuckle fighting, and Dave Feldman runs the whole thing. They do it out of Philly. They're getting ready for a huge event down in Cancun, Mexico. Let's hook up with him and find out what's going on. Chris Lido, first, before I start introducing everybody and getting into it, I got to start with this. When I grew up as a little boy, I grew up in Valparaiso.
Yeah.
And you know where that is.
Absolutely, not too far from me. I'm an Indianapolis guy.
And then I went to IU because when I was a kid, I wanted to cover Bob Knight. And when I went to IU, I ended up doing the Bob Knight show for 5 years. And the last game I covered at Indiana was when Indiana beat Syracuse in the 87 National Championship at the Superdome on Bourbon Street on Keith Smart's jumper at the buzzer. How do you like them apples?
Oh, I love it, man. I went to IU, too. We're kind of like brothers in a way. There we go.
So
now, unfortunately, my daughter just signed to go to Purdue.
What is wrong with her?
She's an engineer, and I have to put her there.
Traitor.
Well, I'm past, you know, denial, and I'm through with bargaining. I've reached acceptance. I'm at the last.
I tell you, though, I went to the Grand Prix party there every year. That's a pretty good bash.
I know, but I mean, she's
not the little fop.
No, nothing is. But I mean, she's an engineer, and that's where she needs to go. She's way smarter than me. I don't know where she got her genes. I got to find out who her real dad is, I guess.
If you start wearing Purdue stuff around, you and I are going to have issues.
Never going to happen, brother.
Listen, I'm telling you. David Feldman, he's running the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, the founder and president. It took you a long time. You've been doing this for over a decade to get people to believe in what you're doing. That's a hell road. How have you traveled that hell road?
It's been a tough run, but, I mean, we're here now, so we're three shows deep. We're going on our fourth show. We broke through a ton of barriers. Like you said, 9 to 10 years in the making, 28 doors slammed in our face, and probably many more people didn't want to talk to us. But, you know, we broke through because I knew this is the most exciting form of combat sports that there is out there. If you haven't watched it and you do watch it, I guarantee you watch it again.
So you're a Philly guy, a Temple guy. How did you get this spark in your arse?
I've been in boxing since I've been in diapers. My dad's a Hall of Fame boxing trainer. I'm a former professional boxer. But I met one of the fighters who was a gypsy traveler, who was one of my fighters, Bobby Gunn. And he was telling me about how they did bare knuckle in the fields and stuff like that over there in England. And I got really intrigued by it and just started digging into it. And, like I said, here we are, man. On to our fourth show, Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. It's awesome. It's bare knuckles.
Badass.
Yes, it's so badass.
This event is going to be in Beto Avila Stadium in Cancun. It's going to be huge. USA, Mexico, number 4. It's enormous thing. You're going to be doing it on multimedia vision. You got everybody behind you, TV and everything else. You got into it from the UFC. How did it happen for you, Lights Out, that you decided to go bare knuckle and start beating people's asses in this style?
Well, what happened to me, I remember I saw on Facebook a friend of mine, Joe Riggs, was fighting over in England bare knuckle, and my first thought was, what the hell's wrong with Joe? What wrong with his career where he's doing this? And I watched it, and I got about halfway through the video, and I go, I kind of want to do this. You know, I started watching it, and it wasn't what I thought. I thought it was going to be this, you know, crazy in a warehouse with bales of hay around, but it wasn't. It was in a ring, and I realized it was more technical than regular boxing. I mean, you have to be more technical. You can't just go throw punches wherever and hit a guy on top of the head and break your hand. You'll break your hand with no wrapping. You can't even wrap your hand. It's bare knuckle, like it says. So
how crazy is that?
It's crazy when you first do it, because, you know, as a guy who's been fighting for 20 years, I go out there and I'm like, there's nothing on my hands. You know, you feel naked in a way. You worry about it, but you just got to be very careful, very judicious with how you're going to throw your punches, where you're going to throw them, how you're going to rush in. If you rush in too fast and the guy hits you with a jab, you're probably cut open. So you got to be very careful how you do everything. It is more of the sweet science than boxing is the sweet science. It is like boxing magnified, the way I look at it, because you have to be more technical.
So I watched your fight. Mafia showed me the fight of you just beating the pulp out of some dude, knocking him on his ass. The guy had bent legs, the whole deal, the knee snapped back. He didn't know where he was. How many fights have you had in it so far? Was that the only one? Because I saw you just level some dude and knock his head off. It was a beautiful thing.
I've had two. That was the one I just had here in Mississippi in Biloxi. It was the second fight they put on.
So who was that dude that you...
I think his name was Drew Lipton. He's a nice guy, but I mean, anybody comes out there, you're my enemy. I'll love you afterwards. I'll help you up. But during the fight, we're coming to go to war, brother.
How did you start signing Beck Rawlings, the chick? I remember watching her fight. I seen Joey Beltran fight. How are you... Yeah, you remind me of Coker. He's signing all these guys and cutting deals. How are you pulling people over to bare knuckle?
I think it's just the excitement. It's their chance right now. Some of these guys are mixed in the middle of MMA or in the middle of boxing. And here in bare knuckle, with only our fourth fight, with only 100 fighters signed, they have a chance of actually being a pioneer and being a star in the sport right now. So I think that's why we got these guys to come over. And they like the pureness of the sport. Like what Chris said, he loves that there's nothing in between it. It's punching bare knuckles to your face. Nothing more exciting.
You're fighting JC Lamas. This thing's February 2nd in Cancun. Like, I'd be laying on the beach before the fight. I mean, I'd be copping rays all day, and then I get to go watch you beat the crap out of someone at night. What do you know about Lamas?
Every time I've seen him fight, he throws bombs, which is what I like. He's going to come and try to knock my head off. That's what I want. I want somebody who's going to try and take me out, because I promise you one thing, I'm going to try and take you out. I don't want a guy who's going to come out there and try and out-jab me. You know, if you're going to try and make this a boring fight, not interesting. I want somebody who's going to come try to take my head off, because I'm taking years off. One, two things are going to happen. Somebody's going to get knocked out, or you're going to have one of the best fights you're going to ever see.
We saw you fight in the UFC, and there's so much of a difference between being able to ground and pound and being able to strike. Everything's different about it. What kind of change was that for you? Or was it like, all right, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to go in here with nothing on my hands and I'm going to go beat some dude's ass.
Well, I got to be honest with you, man. Some of my least favorite parts of MMA was when I'd get a guy who just would try to hold me down and not do anything. Because you're not really trying to beat me. You're trying to win the fight. And I don't care about trying to win a fight. I care about trying to beat a guy up. This is a fight to me, you know. And end of the day, I'm trying to knock you unconscious. So... I love the fact that you can't try and just hold me down. And I don't want somebody trying to hold me down. I want to entertain people. Nobody out there wants to watch somebody try to hold me down. I want to do what people want to see, and that's go out.
Hurt people.
Take somebody out. You saw my last fight. That's what I'm going to do next fight, and next fight after that, and next fight after that.
So are these guys making money?
They're making better money than they make with MMA, and the future's bright for us. We're getting looked at by some really big networks, so I think the money's going to be even better.
How did you pull this off for the fourth event in Cancun and get them involved, get the TV involved, and now you're getting fans involved and, you know, getting the attention that you crave?
I mean, it was a tough, tough road dealing with Mexico and doing things down in Mexico. You know, it's not easy for an American to do business in Mexico, but we're pulling it off. I mean, you know, we hit a lot of hiccups, a lot of speed bumps, but we're 2 weeks away from our first international event, and it's USA versus Mexico. With everything going on in the world right now, USA and Mexico, and the fighters from USA are fighting the fighters from Mexico. I don't think the fans can ask for anything more.
Did you ever think when you were fighting in the octagon that you'd be doing this?
No, the only thing I knew about it was like watching movies from back in the day when people were doing it back in the 1800s. That's the biggest problem, I think, with the sport right now is people still look at it as it's something that's backwards back there.
But underground.
Yeah, it's underground. But when you really take some time and examine it, this is way safer than MMA or boxing. I guarantee it. I mean, I talked to my wife. I'm old enough. She didn't want me doing any more combative sports, but I had to talk her into the fact that, like, look, you don't take nearly as many shots. Even when you're sparring or fighting, you're not taking the buildup of shots when I would do boxing or MMA. I'm not taking a knee to the head. I'm not taking 50 punches per round. If you take that many punches, you're going to get cut open the fight.
How old are you?
Don't worry about it.
No, how old are you, dude? I'll start up with him right now, Mafia. Let's go. You want to warm up?
I'm 44, man.
44. I'm 53. You think I could get in there, Mafia and I? I'll throw down with him. He's 6'5", 240. I'm 6'3", 220. What do you think? Do you think I got a shot against him?
You come work out with me for 2 weeks. I'll get you ready, brother.
That's right. And then we can go to Mexico, get tan, chill out, maybe get some leg. You never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. It's going to be fun, but bare knuckles, and then you get to hit the beach. You get to hit some.
Where can fans see it?
Live on pay-per-view television, the same channel that you're going to see the Pacquiao Broner fight on, or Fight TV. You can see it online on Fight TV.
What do you like in the Pacquiao Broner?
I like Pacquiao slightly. I think Chris sees it a little different.
What do you think is the best bet? The 15-1 draw, decisions 5-6, those odds suck. I got to do something more exciting than a decision. A draw at 15-1, if I drop a 10 spot down, I could make a buck and a half. What do you think happens? Can he knock him out in 10 or 11?
To be honest with you, I wouldn't think a draw is out of the question because me and him, we're both very on the fence about it. It's not like I'm a big time, this guy's going to win, that guy's going to win. So $10 bet, I wouldn't mind that one if I were you.
So you like to draw better than somebody winning?
No. I'm saying for 15-1, I do. But yeah. I'd probably go with Broner slightly, but it could go either way. I'm not really confident in either fight at this point.
How long are these fights that are in the BK?
They're all 5 2-minute rounds. So
the rounds are shorter.
They're shorter, and that's what measures for nonstop excitement the whole fight.
And less chance for somebody to have problems. The longer they fight, the more problems you could have in it, or do you don't think that way?
No, I think that way, absolutely. And I think that's why we made the rounds for that distance, 5 2-minute rounds. And I just want to touch on one thing. The biggest misconception, which a lot of people would think, is a lot of broken hands. We had one broken hand in 70 fights.
Is the city of Philadelphia supporting your bare knuckle fights? Are they putting them on there?
They are not. Not
what's yet. Up with that?
I don't know, man. I'm going to knock on the door again.
So
I go.
Who's the problem, Pennsylvania or is it the city?
Pennsylvania, absolutely. Greg Serb, the commissioner, I go in front of him in April again, and hopefully, you know, they give me the thumbs up.
What do they think? You're barbaric or something?
It's perception.
I used to think that about the UFC. Remember human cockfighting?
Absolutely. You know, I started fighting in UFC 28, and that's all I dealt with my whole career was talking about. What if
you're an animal.
Yeah, people look at you when you say you fought in the cage. And
you're evil.
They looked at you like you just said you eat babies.
You eat children. Yeah. That, I remember.
What's wrong with you? And it's like,
I just had a baby for breakfast. I just had one with, I had syrup on it too. It was actually pretty good. They rolled it out here in the media center.
It all depends on how you cook it, typically.
It really is. Hey, lights out, my man. Congrats. I'm glad you're fighting and I'm glad you're doing well. And go Hoosiers.
There you go, baby. Thank you.
All right, David Feldman. Thanks for having us, good luck, brother.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having us.
All right, check out BKFC4 USA Mexico in Cancun on pay-per-view February 2nd. It's Pharrell on the Bench, and this is CBS Sports Radio. So, Carver High, it sounds like you're really excited about it. I know you're a fan of street fights in Long Island and New York City and around the Nassau Coliseum after an Islander loss, but what do you think of bare-knuckle fighting?
Yeah, it sounds like something really intriguing, you know? I mean, let's be fair here. And good. Listen, all power to those guys. If they're making money and people are watching, I mean, that's all fine and good. But we're basically just talking about a couple dudes just, you know, whacking each other in the street, right? I mean, that's pretty much all. Just a street fight? Is that what we're doing here? No gloves, no nothing? Just, you know, like you see in Fight Club, take your shirt off and let's rock? Is that pretty much what these guys are doing?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if how long until somebody goes down for good in that one? Huh?
Brad Pitt just signed a 2-year deal. He'll be fighting. I think he's in the next fight. It's not in Cancun. It's in Brazil. But all I know is
it's like
that
the rounds
guy,
are 2 minutes to keep the action going. Keep the action going. Somebody's gonna die in the first 2 minutes. What are we doing?
Well, there's definitely violence, and I just want to say, I mean, you saw Chris's face. He's taken some shots over the years. That guy had more scars than anyone I've ever seen.
Of course. He had like 14 pro boxing fights. He had like 40 pro MMA fights, and now he's doing bare-knuckle brawling. I mean, of course he's going to have some.
But his face looks like he jumped in a wood chipper.
He's had a lot of brawls.
He's a cool guy, though.
Oh yeah,
I like him.
That's awesome.
I thought he was really cool.
Firefighter on Indy too.
Let's go back to New York, and then I'll come back and take your calls. Jump on the phone. It's your final shot to talk about the title games with me in the last segment of the show from Vegas tonight. Let's get an update from Jay Berman.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, back at the MGM in Vegas tomorrow night on Showtime pay-per-view, Pacquiao and Broner. And obviously, Manny considers Vegas a second home. He's excited to have his homecoming at the MGM. He's fought a million times here. He's coming off he destroyed Lucas Matisse. And then you look at Broner, and he's coming off a draw in his last fight in April against on Showtime against two-division world champ Jesse Vargas. So, of course, the brash and outspoken 29-year-old Broner has faced some of the best en route to winning titles at 130, 135, 140, and 147. He's fought Mikey Garcia, Paulie, Malignaggi, Sean Porter, you name it. He's fought everybody 33-3-1 with 24 knockouts. Of course, this is fight number 70 for Pac-Man. 60 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws, 39 KOs. He's now a congressman and senator in the Philippines, and he's doing it all. And tomorrow night we're going to see what he looks like here in Vegas again, fighting back in the States on Showtime pay-per-view. Call your cable operator. Get the fight. Mary Ellen in Virginia, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Call now or forever hold your peace. 855-212-4CBS, our last segment from Vegas.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, Marianne.
Hey, can I get a Guinness?
Can we get her a Guinness? It's unbelievable. By the way, it was my Uncle Huey's 81st birthday today. He celebrated by going out. He's a good Irish boy from Belfast. And he went out and had fish and chips and drank 4 pints of Guinness in an hour.
All right. Well, happy birthday to him.
Strong effort.
Hey, before I get to my question, I wanted to commend you on your, like an hour and a half ago or so when you were talking to Smitty. That was an awesome conversation, just listening to you reminisce about all the boxing matches that you know, the fights that you watched and that you went and everything. That was awesome. That was really
that's cool. He's a good friend of mine, a great guy, a great writer. I thought he got screwed, in New York by the Daily News. He's a longtime Times writer and Daily News writer, and the newspaper business has been savage to writers. They've destroyed the newspaper business. The world is changing, and he got out, and he's a PR guy now with Heyman, and at least he's doing what he loves. It's working in the boxing business, and I'm a big fan of it, too. I love being at the fights, and I always love running into Tim Smith.
Your stories were great. They were
great. Man. He's cool.
I just wanted to ask you, what combo duo do you like better, the Saints, Kamara, and Ingram, or the Rams?
Gurley and Anderson. Look, I think that right now it's pretty obvious that the Rams running backs are certainly on a different level at what they're doing, what they're accomplishing, the yards they're putting up. They're carrying the Rams. They're pounding it, and, I mean, they are running people right down their throats, like right down Broadway. So they're doing way better. I think Kamara is a very dangerous runner and all-around football player. He does it all. He can catch it. After the catch, he's dangerous. Running the ball, he's dangerous. Sweeps, he's dangerous. Anything he does, he's very successful. He's a talented football player. You knew it when you saw him at Knoxville playing in Tennessee. The kid's a badass. That's all there is to it. I think Ingram's best days are behind him. I think he's had a nice career, but I'm not that scared of him. Now watch, he'll go out and have 150 yards, but I'm really not that scared of him. I think the Saints should be very worried about Anderson and Gurley because they can kill you, and they've been destroying everybody. So I'm going to say Rams there, and once again, I'm going, onions out. I'm taking the Rams and the Chiefs. So I don't care if I'm wrong either. Sometimes you got to just throw it down, go to the window, and go for it. I got no time to be sissy about it. Rob in Michigan.
Hey, Pharrell, can you pour me a Michigan-made craft beer?
Can we get him a freshie from up in Michigan, Jake Addy?
Hey, thanks. Lights Out reminded me of my favorite Charles Bronson movie, Hard Times, with the bare-knuckle fighting.
That's great. I used to love watching Charles Bronson movies when he was like, he'd be the guy that would go around and beat everybody up. Like, he'd handle it himself, all the crimes. He was a vigilante.
Yeah. I want to get your take on these Super Bowl predictions I got here. We're seeing two rematches from the 2018 season this weekend, right?
Right.
And who wants to see a third, L.A. and KC, in the Super Bowl? Therefore, I got the three possible Super Bowl matchups, KC versus New Orleans. Patrick Mahomes has never faced Drew Brees. New England versus the Rams. The Pats have never faced Sean McVay. Or the end of the legacy with New England versus New Orleans. The Pats beat New Orleans at New Orleans last year. So what's your take on what's best for the NFL?
Well, I think those are really good. I would say of the three, I think your idea is very interesting. And I'll say that I think the best one would be McVay trying to beat Belichick at his own game, because Belichick's the, you know, let's face it, the greatest coach. I think that, you know, at the end of the day that I've ever seen in terms of what he's done and the success he's had is absolutely unreal. There's no questioning or arguing it anymore. People can hate him all they want. The guy's he's just a genius, and he's just a fantastic football coach. That's what he does. He's not running for office. He's not running, you know, financial companies. He's not on Wall Street. He's not making movies in Hollywood. The guy's a football coach, and he's damn good at it. And I think everyone keeps saying that McVay is the future. And he's the, you know, everybody's anointed him the greatest coach on the face of the earth. He's never won anything. Maybe it'd be interesting to see him beat Belichick and see if he could do it, to see if he could actually draw up a game plan and beat the master. And I, you know, I got my reservations whether he could do it. Zach in Arizona, by the time I got to racially profiled Arizona.
Hey, how you doing, Pharrell?
Hey, bro.
Can we get a round for the house?
Get everybody one. Carver High, snapping them off. 100, 200, shot of beer, puke.
I had so fun, what do you think about this fight tomorrow night?
Well, here's what I think. I think that first of all, I think Pacquiao win. I think Broner's going to be a great counter puncher in this fight. They're both very fast. Pacquiao still has it. No one has said he doesn't have it anymore. No one said he's slowed down and he's you know, finished. No one says that. They still say he's got it. So, and we already know Broner's fast. So fast hands, there's going to be a lot of action in this fight. There's going to be a lot of throwing. But I still think Pacquiao... What?
I had the privilege and the honor of meeting Zab Judah last night in person.
Yeah.
So I just want to say that was a blessing. I believe he's promoting this fight. So.
Yeah, I saw him here today. I saw him. I've had him on the show before. He's a cool dude. Look, I think Pacquiao beats him. I'm willing to bet on Pacquiao in a knockout in the 10th or 11th round, and I'm also willing to bet the draw at 15-1 because I think these two might put on a show and a draw. I think more than likely, though, Pacquiao wins the fight. More than anything else. Brown in Boston on the hub.
Hey, you know, hey Scotty, I know you're up against it. I'll just say, 20 years the past, taking a toll on me, living in a house with the wife and the kids, every Super Bowl. Oh, can you turn this off? They're going to lose anyway. So I get so nerved out watching it. But I just wanted to tell you, 76 Pat should have won it all. We got screwed by Ben Dreith. But when the Steelers played the Cowboys, I always rooted for the Steelers. Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, Franco Harris, and great team. And one thing on Phil Kessel, he was too small for the Bruins. And you know what? They goofed on him. Then there was an All-Star game where the play is picked, and he was the last one picked. I'm glad he won a title with Pittsburgh, and I'm glad he scored an overtime goal for you guys today. I always root for that guy. I'll hang up, and you guys have a good one.
There you go, brother. You know, he's won a couple of them with the Penguins. He's had a great career with the Penguins in Pittsburgh. He found a perfect home and a nest to live in. And, you know, they were talking about trading him all year this year. And I said over and over, it'd be a huge mistake. The guy scores too many big goals. He's a great goal scorer. He's got great hands, eyes, great, you know, stick work. He can find that puck and redirect and finish. He's a sniper. I think he's got game. One of the interesting things I think about that guy, Carver High, is he always plays. That guy has played in a million games. He just plays. He shows up every night and laces him up and goes. He's not a knock on wood, a guy that gets injured. He just plays and plays and plays, and he scores goals. I love that kind of hockey player.
Never misses a game. He's a big-time player.
No doubt. Carver High hates the Penguins. Greg in Boston.
What's up, Scotty? I just wanted to say, you know, the Pats, if they won the Super Bowl this year, they'd be the only team since the 1972 Dolphins to win a Super Bowl after going to the Super Bowl the year before. And I just want to say, Belichick, if there's one person that he wants to put on his wall, it would be Don Shula. You know, I know he missed out with that, you know, 19-0, all that nonsense in 2008.
It wasn't nonsense to you guys. You wanted to go 19-0. It meant everything to you. That was the worst loss you ever had.
I got to give it to you. That was that hurt.
That was the worst. You go 18-0 and lose. That was the absolute worst. Now, who are you?
I got to give it to you, Scotty. It hurt a lot. It hurt a lot. But if Belichick could give it to Shula and be the first team ever to lose in the Super Bowl and then come back and win the next year after the 72 Dolphins.
I get it. It would be huge. I get it. This is just taking too long. Let me just say this. Carver High, what did you say about it? He said it wrong.
So I was just saying they'd be the first team to lose the game since then, to lose the game and then come back and win it the next year.
You know, when you play in Super Bowls every single year for like 20 years, that's what happens. People break records. Kevin in San Diego, I got 10 seconds, brother, real quick.
Scotty, with the Mets here. Hey, Pat smoked the Chiefs, and the Rams smoked the Saints.
All right, good night from Las Vegas. There you go. See ya.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.